Self Mastery Podcast, episode 13. Yo, my man, I gotcha.
We're hooked up.
Yeah, man, how good is this? Okay, so it's ready and raring to go.
Yep, we're recording now, bro. So once this finishes, it'll be saved in your anchor.
Man, that's so cool. And then everyone else can obviously listen to it and do what they want with it.
Yeah, bro. Yep.
Awesome. All right. Well, I suppose we better introduce you, eh? This is my man, JT. And JT is a very, very talented man of many talents. So to name just a few, be master practitioner of NLP, timeline therapy, and hypnosis. But not only that, you'd also add to your CrossFit coach, strength and condition coach. What else you got under your belt?
Oh, mate, you're making me blush. That stuff. I'm a human.
World record
under the belt.
Yes. Hey, I actually wanted to touch base on that for a second, so we might as well do it now.
Yep.
What was the actual world record for?
The most strict muscle ups completed in 24 hours.
Fucking hell. How many did you get?
1,025.
Well played, sir. That's an achievement if ever I've heard one.
Yeah, man. I was pretty ruined afterwards. My wrists, I couldn't drive a car for about 2 weeks.
For about 10 years. Yeah, I could just imagine.
Yeah.
How did your hands hold up?
They ripped, man. Like, they ripped bad. And I knew they would.
Yeah,
I had someone sort of there to cut the skin off and fix them up and tape them. But the worst thing was like 15 hours in and then having big cuts on my wrist and then having to hang my body weight off of the same spot for another, I don't know, 6 hours or whatever. Yeah. The pain was nuts, but obviously you just do it. But that was the hardest part, was the pain of hanging on the wrists that were ripped.
Yeah. So crazy. And obviously, like, you've used that, that mentality that, well, I mean, fuck, you put it this way, right? That mentality that someone needs to do that is obviously going to be very, very effective in other areas of life, right?
Man, I just want people to understand that it's all the same shit. It's all the same. Like, if you can understand the principles of success, you can be successful at anything, whether it's physical, mental, business, whatever it is, it's all the same.
Yeah. And we've talked about that a few times, right? It's like, if you can just get those principles, and once you find out what they are, and they could be different for, you know, each individual, depending on what their circumstances are. But once you've got that, it's like, you can transfer that principle onto like fucking anything.
Yeah.
Like you just said, business, relationships, health and fitness, bloody spirituality, whatever it might be.
Yep. Yep. I always use Arnold Schwarzenegger as one example, because succeeded at sports, let's say bodybuilding, and then moved into acting, and obviously has become a well-known actor, and then moved into politics and became the governor of California. So, like, those are three very different genres of life, and he's smashed all three of them.
He's nailed every single one of them. And he hasn't just been good at each one, like, he's been the best at each one, right?
Yeah. He just knows. He knows he's got the secret. He knows what he's doing. And it's learnable, yeah. Right? As we're both master NLP, it's he's got strategies that work.
Exactly right. And it's so true, because it's like, once you find out what works and the other person is willing to do exactly what the recipe is, it's like, well, you do the things, you get the results.
Yeah, man. So, fuck. If anybody wants to do it, all they got to do is model the best, you know, in the field that they want to excel at. And fuck, Bob's your uncle.
Yeah, it's so crazy, right? Because this is way before I even learned NLP, but when I started finding out about modeling what it is, I was like, oh my God, that makes so much fucking sense to just find someone who has done what you want to do. Look at what they're doing physically, but also look at what they believe in and how they carry themselves, and almost like the rituals that they created in order to get there, and then do that.
Exactly. And like this, you knew this intuitively, right? You'd never been taught, but you have mentors or role models, and you sort of start to copy them to a degree. I think it's great that NLP's turned that into a formula and gone, well, you know, there's, yeah, there's this is there. How we break it down and actually teach someone how to do it or implement it in someone else's life.
Yeah. It's so crazy, right? Because I think there's a lot of, well, I don't think, I know that there's a lot of stuff that I do. This is in the context of like coaching and, you know, teaching, that sort of thing. There's a lot of stuff that I do that I'm not consciously competent in yet. It's just like, oh, I don't know. I just, it just happened. And I, you know, and got that result. But it's cool because the more that I learn, the more that I do it, the more that I'm becoming consciously aware of, like, oh, hang on a second, I said that and then did that and I got this.
So you're
result.
Consciously incompetent.
Becoming consciously
competent.
Exactly, right? And that's a fucking journey in itself. But it's really cool because it's like, okay, cool. That's fucking great awareness to have. Like that's a good position to be in.
Well, I think awareness is the secret that everyone needs to learn, because once you have awareness, then you can change it. If you don't know about it, you can't change it, right?
Exactly. At least you've got a choice, right? You can be like, all right, cool. I know about it. I'll do something with it. Or I know about it and I'll just turn a blind eye to it. Either way, it's like,
and
at
then,
least you've got
like,
a choice.
Right at the bottom, right, there's unconscious incompetence. So that's like you don't even know that you don't know it.
That you don't know. You just got no idea.
Like that's massive, right? Because where we're at now, we know, I would say, more than average people. And then to know that there's stuff we don't know means that, like, it allows us to be open-minded, right?
Yeah, massive. Well, it also allows that door to be open of searching and learning. It's like, all right, cool.
Yeah. And so that's great. We've got that. The amount of people that don't have that. And here's an example. I had a phone conversation with an old friend the other day, and he was going through like a marriage separation. And I said, you know, I said, what do you want between now and 5 years? And he said, I just want her back. And I said, well, what was it about her you want or you like or you love? And he listed all these things. And I said, okay, so there are billions of females on this planet. Are there any others on the planet that would probably have those characteristics? And he was like, oh my God, I've never looked at it that way. And so just a...
Oh, shit. Look
out,
people.
Just a shift of like going from like out of his awareness completely to, okay, I'm aware that I have other options now. I've got resources. Like, I don't have to feel like shit trying to get this woman back in my life.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, whatever happens, whether they actually want to get back together or, you know, whatever, that's their choice. But the good thing is now is like you've got that power of, like we're talking about, the power of like awareness and choice.
Yeah, the ball's back in his court.
Exactly, which is empowerment, right? In a nutshell.
Yeah, that's it.
And that's like empowerment is such a powerful thing for an individual to have, because then they can actually, like you said, it's like the ball's in their court. They're not victims anymore. It's like, oh, hang on a second. This is my show and this is how it's going to go down. Rain, hail, or shine. And, man, I think like, we've been there before, because obviously once upon a time, somewhere along the timeline from when we were born to now, we didn't know this stuff or we weren't aware of it.
I can easily look back and see myself and I just like, but not embarrassed, obviously, it's part of your journey and growth, but yeah, just to think you knew it all at the age of 13 and the things you would say to your parents or tell people, and it's like, you didn't know shit.
You didn't know, like, not even a thing, right? Not even a thing. I talked to like a couple of, when I say young people, like 16 or 17, and the way that they talk was exactly the way that I used to talk, and I'm just like, oh my God, you're in for a rude shock.
Yeah. I mean, you've got kids now, so you, I mean, I feel really, your kids are very lucky, Luke, because you've just got wisdom and that awareness and open-mindedness is obviously something you're going to teach them. And that's just going to put them leaps and bounds ahead of people that aren't taught or shown awareness.
Yeah, massively. Like I've talked to April about this many, many times. And I said to her, like, the biggest thing that we're going to, or the biggest so-called problem that we're going to have with Frankie is teaching her the difference between, like, the thinking that we would be thinking, if that makes sense, and then the thinking of
unaware,
the, like, society. Yeah, the unaware society, the whatever you want to call them. And, it's like, fuck, that's going to be a crazy day when she goes to school and she's like, hey, Dad, why does, you know, this person thinks this and that person thinks that? I'm like, yeah, don't do that. Don't listen to that. Do this.
Yeah, and even like, I mean, I'm looking forward to raising children myself in the future, but to then, because obviously language is the first thing you have to teach the child so that you can then teach them sort of principles. And, you know, during that whole stage that they're going to be mingling with other kids who are learning language as well. And I don't know, picking up habits that you wish they didn't get maybe, but you can't do much about it because they're just in that modeling phase. They're just, you know, doing what they see.
Yeah. I tell you what, that's a powerful place to be in. And on the flip side of it, it's almost scary as well, because the scary part is that Frankie does certain things that are exactly the same as myself.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh shit, I better, you know, cause you have to be aware of the things that you're doing. And because before you know it, it's like monkey see, monkey do. And that's a big part to play in someone's life. It's like, okay, you are their role model in order to grow up into the world. It's like, fucking hell, no pressure.
I think though, if you are a good person, which you are, then, and you're aware of things, like I don't want to say it's easy, but because you're a good person and that comes naturally to you, it will come naturally to Frankie as well, I think.
Yeah, definitely. And the cool thing is, I really want to, like, I don't want to shelter Frank, like, with knowledge, if that makes sense. It's like, I want to be able to give her the knowledge so then when, you know, life gives her a bit of an uppercut or, you know, throws a little rocket or something, she'll know what to do.
Yeah.
Rather than, like, I know a lot of people that have these tools and they know a lot of other things and they're like, oh, I almost want to, like, they almost want to install what they know into their children so it doesn't happen to them. But then there's something within me that's like, are you taking away what it is that they may need?
That's what I was about to say. At what stage do you install it or try and install it into them? Because that's essentially going to affect everything. And they might
hugely.
I think obviously life is the best teacher. So what happens, as long as your principles are right, like we talked about at the start. So learning from mistakes and, you know, staying on the positive side of things as opposed to going to the negative side. I'll tell you in 20 years after I've raised a child, what the best way is.
Yeah. Yeah, I think even when we get to then, I'll still be like, I have no idea. Just is everyone fed? Let's do a roll check. Is everyone here? It's like, yep. Okay, good.
I think we're doing good. Sweet.
Yeah, everyone's still alive. No one's dropped dead. Winning. Yeah, so it's crazy. So look, like, you just come back from MasterPrak, right? So was it 12 days?
12 days. They were long days.
Yeah, that's a lot of learning, eh? Especially at the unconscious, conscious, bloody level.
Our brain was like, I stopped trying to remember it all. I just like let it all be, let the unconscious mind take in what it needs. Yeah.
Sink it in. Yeah. And I suppose like when I've been told that in the past, it's like, no, you're trying too hard. Stop trying and just let it happen. It's like, oh, really? I can just stop? It's like, yeah, you can just stop trying and just let it sink in.
Yeah, I know. You're not taught that at school.
No, definitely not. Well, it's so bloody counterintuitive, right? Because, you know, we're sort of taught like, go, 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 and you got to do better and you got to do more. And then once you get there, you got to do more again. It's like, fuck. Chill out, people.
Yeah, no, it was good, man. It was really good. And I drove down. It was a 9-hour drive or ended up 10-hour drive. So I drove down, and on the way down, I listened to the master practitioner audio. Yeah, CDs. It was like, can't remember how, I think it was like 30 hours total. So I saved 10 hours for that drive. And so when I got there, I was already in like NLP land. I was frothing. And, you know, I sort of recognized stuff more. So when the instructors talked about it, it was clear to me already. It was just already in my mind. And that helped a lot as well.
Oh, hugely. All right. I can remember going to Unleash the Power Within. So Tony Robbins, I think it was like maybe 4 years ago. And the week before that we went there, I ended up with his Get the Edge program.
Yep.
No, it's like, I think it's maybe like seven CDs. And I listened to all that. So by the time I got to Robbins, like he was already speaking.
Yeah, you were in tune, right?
Yeah. And I tell you what, I reckon I would have comprehended so much more information out of those 4 days than, you know, say like another person, or if I didn't do that.
100%.
Man, it made a huge difference. Fuck, my life changed so much after that.
Yeah. When was that? What year was that?
It was 4 years ago. So what's that, 2014?
Yep.
2014. Yeah, September 2014. Crazy. Went down with two of my best mates and just had an absolute blast.
I've never been.
You know when? Yeah, it's weird, right? Because I reckon if I went now, I'd be like, don't really get it, or I don't really jive with it. But fuck, man, I tell you what, back then I was like, give it to me.
Fucking install some programming in my mind.
Yeah, it just blew out so much. It's like I don't know, like you've obviously, like, used to drink back in the day,
massively.
Right? Okay, massively good. So you'll get this. But you know when you like first get drunk and it's sort of like you maybe have your first three or four bloody vodka Red Bulls or Jim Beams or fucking whatever it might be, and it just like rocked your world?
Yeah, of course.
That's what it felt like on that that 4 days. It was like my first initiation to like hardcore
drinking.
You know. Well, yeah. It's like, right, you got to rip the guts out of yourself, throw out everything that's not working, and then you got to install everything that is. And, man, when we walked out of there, I can just remember feeling like I was going to kick the door down. I was just like, get out of my way.
I love it. Love it.
It was so crazy. And actually, when I was there, I decided on the second day, because April and I has only just been going out, at this point, I'm like, I'm going to marry that girl. And the other boys are like, what? What? I'm like, yep, I'm going to marry her. And within a week, we were engaged.
Man, that's the power of a positive state, right?
Mate, it was so crazy. I just like, it was really weird. Once again, I sort of refer back to it's like that first time you got really drunk and it's like, oh my God, what is this? And like really hit you for the first time before you got, piss fit, so to speak. And yeah, I can remember coming home. It's like, right, I got to do this, then I got to do that, and then I got to do this.
Yeah.
Simple. And I just went and did it. I was like, oh, fuck, that was
actually
quite easy.
Yeah, man. Oh, fuck. And it's hard. Like, it's not hard. I'll start again. I look at people that haven't, like, they've grown up the regular way, you know, the regular Western way. We're in Australia. And to them, it would... what we do is crazy, right? The amount of enthusiasm, the amount of discipline, the amount of work we put in to help people to a lot of people is like insane, but it's very, very normal for us now. We're so conditioned to that way of living, to producing results that, like it's easy, right? It's easy.
Yeah. It's so fucking weird too, because when you talk to people and it's like, oh yeah, you could have that done within 20 minutes if you wanted to. And they're like, no, I've had this for 20 years. It's like, that doesn't matter.
I got off the phone to a lady maybe an hour ago and she's having problems, right? And it was, it's always been a problem. This. And I was like, she's like, oh, you know, I'll get on top of it one day. And I was like, whoa. I was like, you know, your life could be completely different, like after a few hours together. And she didn't, you know, fully believe it. She was taken by it. And I said, seriously, that's how powerful the mind is. Like, you can really change your entire life in a matter of time, like a matter of moments.
Yeah. It's so powerful, right? But and you can understand why that is. It's like someone coming to you and, you know, let's just say that you're poor your whole life and then they just rocked up and said, hey, I can teach you how to make $1 million in like 20 minutes. You know, you'd probably be like, what? Like, what are you talking about? I don't get it. You know, but it's so true. Once you've done it, it's like you can get rid of that negative emotion. You can get rid of that depression. You can get rid of that anxiety. You can get rid of that
limiting beliefs.
Yeah, the limitations, whatever it might be, blockages, roadblocks, hurdles, whatever people label them as.
Yep.
And it's just like, man, imagine the world when each individual had that knowledge.
Man, oh, like this is what needs to be taught at school, really.
Massively, hugely.
And it just goes on further than that too. Like nutrition as well. You can change your body. You can change your health so fucking quickly if you just do it properly. But we're brought up with our blinkers on, where it's like, this is the way a westernized family eats. This is the way a westernized family thinks, socializes, acts. And if you can just look out of the square and have the awareness, one, to know that there's a problem, look outside the square, see what's working and just fucking do that. It blows my mind how quickly, like, people with illnesses and injuries. I had my cousin, right? Not the healthiest human, not unhealthy, but not the healthiest human. And he had gout in his foot. He did a water fast for 4 days. Gout completely disappeared, never came back.
How convenient. Oh, it's like, that's not a coincidence, people.
Like, my mind is, and it becomes more blown each and every day, just the more I read and see and, you know, watch documentaries or whatever. The world is working for you. You know what I mean? Like, if you start working with it, you will get the results you want.
Yeah. And it's so true to make a, I suppose it's a decision, but it's like more than a decision. It's like make a pact or an oath or a bloody pinky promise, whatever you want to call it for yourself, to be like, right, this is the sort of world that I live in, or this is the sort of universe that I live in. It's friendly. Or it's like, if it's not friendly, then what does that mean? It's like, yeah, well, it's shit. It's fucking demoralizing. It's bloody unsupportive. It's like, man, that's not going to be a happy life to live. I can fucking guarantee you that right now.
And it's a choice.
Yeah. You can actually choose.
To live a good life.
And I suppose, like, now for people listening to this, it's like, you know, we sort of, I suppose, at some degree take the piss out of it because we've been through it. We've been through it, right? It's like, man, there's been many, many times that that I've been through stages in my life just thinking, fuck, what am I doing with my life? Everything's against me. Poor me, poor me, poor me. And it's like, newsflash, that doesn't work.
And like, even nowadays, like, we all have problems and stress, but I always say everybody has that. Nobody in the whole world doesn't have that. But it's how it affects you and how long it affects you for that's different.
Yeah, exactly. And what you take from it, right? Like, what does that mean? Like, what does that mean to you? And I think for anyone that is, everyone listening to this right now, start asking yourself that question when things are happening in your day-to-day life or whatever's going on. Ask yourself, like, what does this mean? It's like, oh, this person did that to me. Okay, what does that mean? Well, it doesn't mean anything. It means whatever you want it to mean. So if you can start playing around with that, you'll find that things begin to change very quickly.
Yep. What does that mean? That's a good question, man. I like it.
Oh, man, it's so crazy. Like, in coaching and working with people and stuff like that, you just got to listen to people. And then as soon as you find the thing that they think they're so-called stuck on, just ask them, what does that mean to you? And then they'll come up with their own
solution. How is that a problem?
Yeah, how is that a problem? What does that mean to you? What's the purpose or intention to that?
Yeah.
It's like, it's powerful stuff, right? So, look, the language that, because people are going to be listening to this thinking, what the fuck are these guys talking about? How's that a problem? What does that mean? But the language that we're using is all language from NLP and hypnosis. And that, like, it's so important to keep an eye on your language and what it is that you're talking about.
Crucial. And I can't remember who it was, but some dude, I think you actually pointed him out to me. He's got like 12 rules of life or something. And one of,
one of his rules is
like, make sure your language is precise.
Yes. Yeah, because if someone out there is like, oh, I've got anxiety or I'm anxious, it's like that may not be true. Mm-hmm. You might be overthinking. You might be fearful or worried about something that you do not want to happen in the future. But that does not mean that you have anxiety. That does not mean that you are anxious. Because if you start saying to yourself, I have anxiety and I am an anxious person, you're going to start to experience that a lot more than what you want.
You're wiring that in.
Exactly. You're literally hypnotizing yourself to mm-hmm. experience that. It's the same thing with like depression, right? Or even, post-traumatic stress. Jeff talks about this all the time. He's like, you are not
Jeff
the
Garland,
label.
Just for anyone that's listening.
Yeah. Jeff Garland, right? He's absolute expert in PTSD. It's crazy, right? Because it's so true. It's like, you're not that. Whatever you think you are, you're still not that.
You're not even your name. You are not your name. No. Your name is Luke Pierce. My name is John Timmerman, but that's not you. Your mum gave you that name.
It's just that.
And your dad gave you that name at birth. And if they had called you Bob, you would still be you.
Yeah. It's just a handle, right? Something that you can grab onto. It's like, how do I know who that is? Oh, well, that's JT. Or that's
and that's the ego's
Bill.
Problem. It grabs onto it because it gives it significance, right? One of the basic human needs.
Oh, needs, yeah. And that's where things start. Yeah, the ego, that's where things start going crazy. And look, the ego is just the false self. It's like the identity that, it or you create in order, oh, that's who I am. It's like, no, that's not who you are. It's just who you think you are.
Yep.
And the crazy thing...
I was going to say, because there are so many people out there that want to change for whatever reason, and this is for myself, I change every day, or I try to grow every day.
Yeah,
but it's the ego that stops people changing, because they'll say things like, oh, I can't do that for this reason, or, I'm not a NLP practitioner, I'm a plumber. And it's like, you were today, when you wake up tomorrow, you can choose to be whatever you want, or even the next minute, you can choose to be whatever you want.
Yeah.
And it's the ego that stops that from happening.
Yeah, it's crazy, right? Because it's like a metaphor or an analogy that that I use. It's like if you woke up tomorrow morning and you thought that you were in the SAS, right? Mm-hmm. Let's just say that. Or if you're a Navy SEAL, your day is going to be very, very different than if you woke up and believed that you were a checkout chick at Woolies.
Yep.
You're like totally different, right? And it's like, where does that come from? Well, that comes from obviously what it is that you believe and what it is that you choose to become. Yeah, it's so powerful, because that's it is a daily moment by moment choice.
It's like the present is all that there is. There is only now, and you can choose anything you want right now. But most people play the story of their past over and over again, and that just creates the same future.
Yeah, exactly, because they don't have a chance to even dip their toe into the potential of now.
Because their mind won't let them. And that's where we talk about getting out of your head and into your heart, or into the present moment, because then you are connected to unlimited resources, unlimited truths, unlimited destinies, instead of the head, which only works based off of what you've experienced in the past. All it knows is memories and past patterns, and then it can only produce what you already know.
Yeah, it's crazy, right? And then obviously, like, you, whatever it is that you're going through, you're going to tell yourself that, and then therefore that's creating your reality or your experience. Yep. It's like someone said to me ages ago, they're like, I'm just always so tired. I'm like, is it the fact that you're always so tired that makes you tired, or is it the fact that you keep telling yourself that you're always so tired?
Yeah.
And you honestly could have seen smoke come out of their ears. They were just like, what? Like, say that again. I'm like, is it the fact that you're actually tired, or is it the fact that you keep telling yourself that you're tired?
I'll tell you now, it's the second one.
Yeah, and they were just like, oh,
it's
shit.
It's the same. Do you want to go more?
No, you're good.
With any sort of overwhelm, it is the overwhelm isn't the actual tasks in nature. The overwhelm is the story in your head you keep fucking battling with. If you were to literally, two things. One, if a lion was to appear and chase you, your overwhelm would disappear in an instant and it would be replaced with survival.
Leg it.
So that's the first thing. And obviously we don't want the lion. So if you're feeling overwhelmed, you can pretend a lion's not there and just literally choose to focus on something else. Drop what you're doing, stop thinking about bullshit, and go to the beach. Just do something different and boom, overwhelm disappears in an instant.
Yeah, it's so true, right? Because overwhelm is, it's like your mind literally telling you that you're thinking about too many things at once. You know, it's like, what the fuck is going on here? I've got this going on, that going on, this going on, this going on. And it's just like overload. It's like, nah, it's not computing.
Yeah.
Try again. and like you said, go to the beach, have a nap, go to sleep, do something, go to the gym, bloody go for a walk or something like that.
Yeah, like meditation as well.
Oh, hugely. And the weird thing is, and I remember experiencing this, you know, very heavily, like when I sort of come across this lesson, it was like, oh yeah, but now I feel bad about going to the beach. Now I feel bad about not doing what I think I should be doing, so to speak.
What? Yeah, it does, but what? Like
yeah, it's crazy, right? Yeah, massively. So this was like a few years ago when, you know, I was still in the mindset of like go, never stop. And then it got to the point where like I was literally just killing myself and I was like, this isn't really working anymore. I gotta try something different. And that's when the self-care, you know, going to the beach, meditating, and all these sorts of things started coming in. But there was definitely a part of me that was like, what are you doing? Why, it's 12 o'clock. Why are you meditating?
Yeah, should be doing this. For sure. Yeah.
And man, that has been such a big thing that I've helped, many, many people out with. Because they're like, what? You want me just to go to the beach and just go for a walk by myself?
Okay.
Like, that's fucking exactly what I want you to do.
That is a perfect example, I believe, of when to do a parts integration.
Yeah, because definitely.
There'll be 100%. Just one part that's like, you should be working, you should be doing this. But then this other part going, you know,
I'm out.
And ultimately, they both have the same purpose, is to make you feel good and give you the life you want and help others live the life that they want and ultimately make the world a better place.
Yeah, definitely. Make your experience more, what would you call it? Like a ruin, right? For whatever it is that you want. So look, this would be a good thing to touch on because, you know, you guys listen to this right now, fuck, you're about to get a lot out of this. So what JT's talking about with the parts integration is like inner conflict, right? Inner conflict as in like, oh, I want to go and do this thing, but I also want this to happen, right? So what does that look like? It could be like, I want to make a lot of money, but I don't want to look like a greedy prick. Or maybe I want to make a lot of money, but I don't want to sell. So for the example that we were using with the beach, it's like, I want to go to the beach and look after myself, but there's a part of me that feels guilty for so-called doing nothing. And it's like, man, how many people do you know right now that would be experiencing that on some level?
Everyone.
Because if you didn't know about it, you fucking don't
And that's probably more of a problem.
Exactly. Because you don't have a choice whether you have the problem or not. And I think that's what fucking really sucks. If I have a problem, I want a choice whether I want it or not.
Because then you can choose to fuck it off.
Yeah, you could choose to be like, goodbye. You've had your time. So, what's like a few tips that you could give the guys listening for either dealing with like, like in a conflict or anything that we're talking about?
So I
guarantee you people are going through
it. So to recognize that when I look back at my past, the times I've had the most inner conflict is when if you're going through like a midlife crisis or something like that, or you're just a young kid and you've heard one bit of advice from someone and you've heard another bit of advice from someone else, and you don't like both bits are true because, you know, each person's getting their own meaning from each part, but to you, both parts are not congruent. So an example might be you might have heard somewhere along the lines that making money is for greedy people. But then you'll see some entrepreneurs or some people saying, you know, you need to make money in order to provide for you and your family. And if you want to really change the planet, you need to make even more money. And so you've heard two things from two people you look up to and trust, but they're both conflicting. They're both different. And so that can give someone to create two parts to a person. Well, which is right, which is wrong. So that's a good time to use it, to recognize it. So if there's any internal conflict in you that you want to sort out, get rid of, or get some understanding on, then a parts integration is ultimately understanding why each person or each part is there, what its highest purpose is, what it's there for. And if you ask the question enough times, but why, or for what purpose, or for what intention, you'll get to the end and you'll figure it out. And it might take a while. And if you've got anybody around you that knows NLP, that's a practitioner, they can help you through the process. And that's going to bring you resolution. That's going to bring you resolution on a problem, which, you know, is an unconscious stress, which is, you know, bad for you, bad for your nervous system, bad for you moving forward as a human. And just that simple process can change your life.
Exactly. So, what JT is saying now is like so freaking true, right? Because so many people are going through it. So I think step one would be like, if you actually have something, like if you're listening to this right now, you're like, oh my God, these guys are speaking my language. They're nailing it right on the head. Then, you know, contact either one of us and get it sorted out, because man, it's such a simple process, but yet, if you obviously didn't know about it, you'd be like, oh my God, why doesn't everyone on the planet know about this? You know, I remember learning it. I was like, what the fuck is this? I was like, what is this? This is like, I have a superpower.
It's literally like that. And that's why I think this, the future of education needs to include the stuff in it. Whether hugely. We're the people to bring that to the education or someone else, I don't know. But it's funny, because when I first learned parts integration, I didn't quite understand it. I questioned it going. But the reason was I didn't understand what a part was. Now I do. I can see the power of it. But I remember I didn't have full faith in the process. But I had a friend, and she had like a conflict, right? So she wanted to quit her job, but it was a family business and she didn't want to upset her mum. So part of her wanted to quit and part of her didn't. And I was like, look, I learned this process on my prac training. I don't know if it works because I don't fully understand it, but let's try it. And I give it a go. And about 20 minutes after we finished, she quit her job, called her mum, quit her job. and honestly, that released her. That released so much stress, because she wanted to quit for years, but didn't want to hurt her mum. So you can imagine that conflict she was living in every day. We went through a 10-minute parts integration. She was just unchained. She became free. And when you hear people saying freedom or whatever, like that's it. It just takes sometimes a simple process. And, you know, her mum was like, I've been waiting for you to say this. I could tell. And like literally the whole world got better by her making that decision.
Yeah, 100%. And that's why so powerful. I've done it on myself like many times when something's happened. It's like, all right, what's this conflict about? All right, this and this. And then I go through the process and, you know, 5 minutes, 10 minutes later, happy as Larry. It's like, all right, I'm good to go again. And you go on your way.
Yeah.
Which is cool. So yeah, for you guys listening, if you want to know more about that, I did a podcast episode. I can't remember what number it was now, but it's in the list called How to Deal with Inner Conflict. So that'll give you a little bit more of a rundown on it. But other than that, contact one of us and, you know, just get it sorted straight away. Then that way you don't have to fluff around trying to work out what it is. You just ring up and say, get rid of it.
And if you want to learn how to do NLP for yourself or to become a practitioner, then get hold of Luke, because he's going to be running some courses that you want to be part of.
Man, I'm so pumped. I'm not going to Vegas anymore.
Going to the one in Sydney?
Going to the one in Sydney. The planets aligned in that specific way. So I'm like, you know what? I'm
yeah, going with cool, that. Man. I know someone else as well doing the trainer training in Sydney. So yeah, I'll tee you guys up because the dude's a freaking legend.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. So that'll be, man, it'll be really cool. Yeah. I can't wait. I've been talking to a few different people about this, and I truly just wanted, yeah, it's not that I want to reinvent the wheel, but I just want to do it in a different yeah. way that you get it, right? That I feel is justified.
Yeah, 100%, man. And honestly, in the coming years, I might not be too far behind you.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's just the next logical thing.
Like, yeah, we're good at it, right? We're good at NLP timeline. And I think to be a master, you need to be able to teach others how to do it. And if I want to master the skill, then it would make sense to become a trainer.
Yeah, exactly right. It's like you think of the guys in, you know, like the CrossFit Games and stuff like that. It would be like someone going into the CrossFit Games and then being like, oh, I'm good at what I'm doing, but I don't want to learn more
yeah,
to get
yeah,
better.
Yeah, yeah, right.
It's like, what? That doesn't make sense. So, I was actually talking to a client yesterday and they said, what's one of the big reasons why you do what you do? And I was like, oh, fuck it. Oh, that's a great question, right? And that's what I said to him. And I said to him, like, one of the biggest things, like in the big, big, biggest picture that you could think about would be to teach, like, my children. And so there was something in the family to pass down, like wisdom and knowledge to pass down. I tell you what, like, I honestly, well, I haven't found it yet, but I haven't found more vital wisdom to pass down to a younger generation.
No, exactly. And the thing I like about sort of the NLP group of people, they are, look, it probably started as potentially helping people figure out problems, like on a lower level. And the way it's growing and evolving and the future I see for NLP and NLP practitioners has actually got a lot of spirituality in it, a lot of higher consciousness in it, and a lot of change for the planet in it.
Yeah, and hugely.
That really
hugely
excites me.
Yeah. Well, I think of, you know, if you think about like the planet, like this is fucking pretty deep, right? But if you think about changing the planet, it's like, in order to do that, you need individuals to step up for what they believe in, right? And NLP, timeline therapy, hypnotherapy, tapping, fucking acupuncture, bloody kinesiology, whatever it is, it's all giving people, like it's empowering them, the individual.
Not the corporation, not the system.
Not the system and not the so-called man. So it's like when enough people have that within them, the tides will change.
Yes.
And it's happening it's actually happening, I would say, at a lot faster rate than what
we think. Yeah, man. Yeah, yeah. Like we, I guess, as well, in our lifetime, we see it through a keyhole. Whereas, you know, if you were God or whatever you want to call it, looking down, it's happening quickly.
Crazy. So fucking cool. I think that the ability to go and do a few courses and out of, say, a whole lifetime, if you invested, 1 month to 2 months and, you know, tens of thousands of dollars and just done these courses that we're talking about, it's like, you find that fascinating that you can just take that time and those resources out of your life, but you can get that back in
return. You can get that back in the return and you can change all your friends and family's lives in the process. It's a no freaking brainer.
Yeah, massively. And, you know, it's like, wow, that blows me away. It's like some people are going and doing degrees and all sorts of crazy shit and not doing anything with it.
Yep. But again, it comes down to awareness. Like the people that need this the most don't even know they need it.
Yeah, exactly.
And we've talked about it before.
And I was one of them.
Yeah. And so you had your little tap on the shoulder by whoever you want to call it.
Yeah.
And I guess that's the next dilemma as well. And this is something I have always known and wondered, but, you know, marketing our services, and if you want to call it marketing, it sounds very salesy, but like reaching people to help them is helping another skill set. I think it's helpful for us to learn because like there are people that need it. And if they don't know we exist and we do what I do, then, you know, Yeah, buggered. I'm buggered and they're buggered. So learning the skill of marketing or aware, like giving people awareness of what you do is another skill set that, you know, we're both diving into as well.
Yeah, hugely. And it's one of those things where it's like you need to play the game. Do you know what I mean? Because you could have the best thing on the planet, but if no one knows about it, it's fucking useless. It's like, oh man, I got this thing over here and it's gonna solve X, Y, and Z. It's like, oh, who knows about it?
Yeah.
Why would anyone know about it? It's like, well, fuck, what are you gonna do with it? It's like nothing, it's just gonna sit there.
Exactly, bro. I had a massive problem with selling because I've not come from money at all. And, you know, the people we help are hurting already, right? Otherwise, you know, they wouldn't come to us, or they've got a problem. And I was like, taking their money is just, you know, adding another problem to them. But that was me. That was me projecting it because that's how I saw money.
Yeah.
And then on my Master Prat course, I did my breakthrough. I had my personal breakthrough, right? But something still wasn't sitting right. And the next day, the girl I was working with, we had a conversation. And I can't remember what conversation, like how it started, but it got down to the point of like, I still wasn't prepared to sell. And so she's like, and it came to the agreement that it was because, you know, taking money from someone I thought was giving them more pain instead of fixing them. And so she did a 10-minute timeline session on me, wiped out that limiting belief I had. I got on the phone at lunchtime and made, like, which was 20 minutes later, and made a $3,500 sale.
Yeah, just and closing.
Now, here's the thing I want people to understand. It's not about the money. It's about the one, how fast that decision changed in me from seeing money as like a bad to ask for someone's money. And the reason we changed it around was because I couldn't help this person, right? This person was going through a divorce. This person was literally, it couldn't see anything but this fucking great big problem, had massive financial difficulty, was just in a hole in life, ready to fucking end it. And And so when I, like he said, he's like, fuck, I've got no money. And I said, well, it's $3,500 if you want this, if you want to change it all. And he said, I'll go to the bank tomorrow and get the money. And so, I mean, this story illustrates so many things. One, the power of timeline, because it just shifted my decision-making ability in 10 minutes. Power of this person who like, no one's got an excuse for not having money. Because if someone that broke and screwed up and in debt went to the bank, that's an investment, right? So he pays me. I fucking help him 10 times that, not like financially straight away, but by emotionally getting him in such a powerful place that money will come back to him in no time at all. Plus,
massively. You couldn't even put a value.
No, not at all. And plus his life is in a sense fixed because he's focusing on what he wants instead of what he doesn't want. And
like back on track,
$3,500 is nothing for that. You know,
man, you think about the money that, and this is what I always ask people if like an objection about money comes up. It's just like, just imagine like how much money you spent on shit that doesn't work.
Yeah.
Now I'm not even talking about therapy that doesn't work. I'm just talking about just shit in general. We all buy crap, right? Well, fuck, I hope I'm not the only one, because if I am, I'm in trouble, right? But it's like you buy a coffee here, you buy a juice there, you buy lunch here, you buy, you know, maybe some shirts or some clothes or whatever people buy. And over like a year, that adds up to be a lot of money. You know, I know with myself personally, I would have spent easily like tens and tens of thousands of dollars just on cigarettes in my past. And I would have spent triple that on alcohol and gambling and fucking God knows what, right? Like there's so much to it. But it's like, all right, a $3,000 investment, a $5,000 investment, a $10,000 investment. It's like if you look at the actual value that you get out of your whole lifetime, it's like, man, you can't even put a monetary number on it.
Yeah. And I think smoking is a big thing because so many people smoke, and that, just to do it, you know, get someone to stop smoking is a very simple intervention. And the money they will save back in the first 3 months already pays for that. And so it's
huge.
It is the first time they'll probably ever experience positive investing. And I just want to highlight, I guess, that the amount of money a practitioner, NLP or timeline charges will come back to you in leaps and bounds once your mindset shifts. And it's just a process you've got to trust. And if you need to hear any success stories, just ask, because there are thousands around. Millions, billions, in fact. Yeah.
And that's the cool thing. It's like what we're doing is not just something that's popped up overnight. It's like, oh, try this. This may work. It's like, no, this has been like trialed and tested for 30 years. And not only that, but it's been like documented of the best that actually gets the result.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, that's why I just think it's fascinating how you can go and just learn this stuff. It's, you know, I was talking to an old guy. When I say old guy, I think he's about 86. He wasn't at one of the events that I was running, but he was around the building. Anyway, he said, hey, what are you doing in there? I said, oh, we're doing NLP and, you know, timeline therapy and hypnosis. And he said, wow, my brother used to do that back in the, not the 60s, but in the 80s. And he said that his brother was telling people that NLP was about the equivalent of the realization of antibiotics, but for the mind.
Yeah, right.
And I was like, oh, shit, that's a good one. Because when you think about it, it's like, man, NLP has had such an impact for the mind. You know, that is just ridiculous.
Yeah, it is. It is, bro. Oh, this needs to get out bigger. And that's why I love the fact you're doing a podcast, because, you know, we're going to share this. People are going to listen and go, huh. And, you know, one of those 100 or 1,000 of people that hear this will do something, bro. And that to me is the start of the ripple effect that changes the world.
Oh, hugely. And another thing is, it's like, sometimes I just find this so bizarre, but I am just sitting here on the phone and you're sitting wherever you're sitting. We're just hanging out and just having a chat. It's like, we would do this anyway. Exactly.
We have done this so many times.
Yeah. It's not like we're even forced. So, man, I think that we really just keep on pushing this and getting it out to different people, because, man, this has been going for, what, 52 minutes now, right? Someone who listens to this, whether you listen or not, you will get something out of it. It's like, fuck, that's powerful.
You know what, bro? We need to do this more often. Even when we catch up, we should just put a microphone on it, because there's wisdom in that that's going to fucking help people. So I mean, I don't know how long you want to talk for now, because I feel we're coming to the end, which will be great, because it's been a powerful 52 minutes, but definitely gonna have to catch up again and fucking talk magic.
Oh, for sure. It's only just the beginning, right? And yeah, it's really exciting, because, you know, I knew that we were going to catch up and have this chat. I'm like, oh, fuck, I wonder where it's going to go. You know, because all the chats that we've had in the past, it's like, man, who knows?
Fuck, sometimes they end up in spiritual land. Sometimes they end up in friggin' timeline therapy. Who knows? Who knows?
Yeah. Fucking quantum physics. You know what we're going to have to do? We're going to have to get Angel on for... I think we get Angel on for a podcast and just like pick his brain.
Yeah.
I just want to sit down and just be like, what do you believe in?
I don't know if anyone else in the world would understand it.
Everyone else would be like, who the fuck is this guy?
Beck Dominique on as well.
Yeah, well, I've been talking to all the guys. So, we'll get them all on. And the cool thing is on this app, you can have what?
A groupie.
So, yeah, we'll have a groupie podcast. Why not? All right, my man. Well, hey, let's wrap it up here. I've had an absolute ball. I hope you guys that are listening really took something out of this. If you didn't, which I know that you did, go back and listen to it again, because, man, there's so much gold in this. I'm going to listen back to it and, you know, I'm going to be taking my own
notes. Fuck, legend, bro. I really appreciate the opportunity to have me on Self Mastery Podcast.
Yeah, yeah. Until next time.
Peace out. Yeah.
We'll see you later. Then. See you, bro.